Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit corin.com.
Hey, this is Hannah, HRN's program manager. It's HRN's 10th anniversary and now our summer fun drive. So show your support for independent, revolutionary, entertaining food radio by becoming a monthly recurring donor. HRN is powered by a passionate community of thoughtful eaters, and we need each and every one of you to show your support so that we can keep bringing you your favorite food podcasts. It takes a village, and every dollar donated, every listener tuning in is essential to our continued success. So set up a donation for $10 every month. You'll show us that you want to be a part of a bright future for HRN. And you'll get one of our brand new limited edition Pizza Pocket t-shirts. So snag your new favorite tea and show us some love, all for the price of about two fancy lattes each month. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate today, and thank you.
Hello, welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, a food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from our studio at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I'll try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is special. He's Koichi Higuchi of Higuchi Matsunosuke Shoten in Osaka. We have discussed koji in recent episodes because it is the essential beneficial malt in Japanese cuisine, and also it is becoming a buzzword in the global culinary industry. For example, Renewetepi of Noma, the renowned restaurant in Denmark, included koji in his recent book, The Noma Guide to Fermentation. And Koichi's background is very unique. His family was six-generation-old koji starter company, founded in 1855, and there are only six koji starter companies in Japan, which support the all production of fermented foods in Japan, such as miso, soy sauce, sake, and you name it. And Koichi's company is one of them. So today, we'll discuss what koji is, how important koji is in Japanese culture, how to use koji, and much, much more. But quickly, before you start, Japan Eats is available on Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and as a podcast, and Spotify as well. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify, and subscribe to Japan Eats. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. Also, if you have ideas about topics of the show or show guests, please let us know. You can email us at japanneeds@heritageradionetwork.org. Now let's start a conversation with Koichi Higuchi.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me, Akiko-san.
It's very exciting. I'm very excited. So we initially got to know each other through the introduction of Brooklyn class brewmaster, Toji, Brandon Don, and I visited you on my business trip last year.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see you here in the studio.
Yeah, it was so nice. Thank you.
So you are on a short business trip to the U.S. right now, but you studied in the U.S. college.
Yes.
Right? So when and where?
I just worked as like visiting researcher. I was not a student.
Okay.
Yeah, I spent there for 1 year.
Mm.
So my major is biology, and I studied about the degradation of biochemicals.
Mm.
So it's totally different from the food business, but it's very unique, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think koji is highly scientific. I've studied to learn from you.
Yeah, both are scientific.
So what is the history of your company, your family company, Higuchi Matsunosuke Shoten?
Yeah, as you introduced my company, so our company was founded in 1855. It's a samurai era. So before that, we run the like as gold ski manufacturing company for like Japanese traditional bowls and Buddhist symbols. Wow. Something like that. But the first generation and the second generation, so they are my grandparents. they merged a Koji starter company in Osaka.
Mm.
So our location of the founded location is Senba in Osaka. That is, the Osaka is known as a merchant city in Japan.
Mm.
You know, so last week the G20 summit was held over there.
Mm.
So we are living as merchant for 100 years.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. Versus Kyoto, that's kind of like a nobles, and it's more practical. And
exactly.
Commercial.
So there is another Koji startup company in Kyoto. They are running more than 500 years.
Mm.
So it's crazy, right. Traditional, right?
Well, that makes sense because, you know, the Japanese fermented foods, which is dominant in Japanese cuisine.
Exactly.
It's all rely on koji.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, mostly it's like soy sauce, miso, and distilled liquor, shochu.
Right, sake,
yeah,
shochu.
These are essential, yeah.
Right. And so what's the scope of the business at the Higuchi Matsunosuke Shoten?
What scope do you mean?
Yeah, like what kind of business do you have? I mean, the products and...
So we are manufacturing various kinds of koji starters for miso, soy sauce, sake brewing, and shochu distilling. In addition, we are dealing enzyme preparation for just sake brewers.
Mm.
So these are enzyme preparation is helpful for brewing society.
Mm.
And so we are working just as a distributor of that.
Right.
And we have over 30 products of koji starters.
Mm.
Yeah. And right. Most of fermented food manufacturers or sake brewers are our customer. We are feeling all about that.
Right. That's amazing. So the enzyme part, I'm just curious. So it's completely different.
Yeah, completely different. So the enzyme preparation is Amano Enzyme Company is head office in Nagoya City in Japan. They are manufacturing enzymes for not only brewing business, but something detergent for detergents, like other food product like beer brewing and food products, something like that.
Mm, right. Okay. So you said your clients are everywhere, all over the country.
Sort of, yes, but not so many in foreign countries.
Okay.
But they purchase our koji starter, but the amount is so not so big, so it's very small. So mainly our customer is in Japan.
Mm.
Very authentic business.
Right. Well, actually, I guess last time, Justin Potts, he was saying he's been living there for 15 years. And he's like, finally, Japanese people rediscovered koji. We just took it for granted that we didn't think about it.
Yeah.
So there's no surprise that it's not even known to people outside of Japan, because if Japanese people didn't think too much about it, how can you bring it abroad? So I think you are one of the very important figures.
Thank you.
Yeah, because, you know, first of all, you speak perfect English. And
No, not imperfect.
Well, to me, it is perfect. And, you know, and then people are getting really curious about koji.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so koji is before, like 10 years ago, till then, koji is, when we write koji, is in kanji. It's very difficult.
Right.
But recently, it's become international ingredient, so it become K-O-J-I, so like...
Right.
It become English word. Like sake, right? Sake was like described as rice wine, and rice cake is mochi, something. It's similar.
Right.
The koji is not fermented food, but K-O-J-I, koji.
Right.
It's a very interesting trend for me, for us, yeah.
Right, so once somebody captures objectively about certain item, product, the concept in Japan, it suddenly becomes more open and easy to understand.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so your father runs currently Higuchi Matsunosuke Shoten as the sixth generation.
Yes.
And you're going to be the seventh.
Yes.
And so when and why did you decide to succeed the family business?
That is a difficult question. Honestly say, the reason is very simple. I'm an only child.
Ooh.
There's no options for my parents and grandparents.
Mm.
So when I was 9 years old, I decided to take over his business because our office and factories next to our family house.
Mm.
So I'm living with Koji for over 30 years.
Mm.
So there's no reason, no actual reason, but I didn't have no
Right.
Any choice.
Right. Well, I'm curious though, when you grew up, you ate a lot of koji products, or just because you have good access to the best koji?
Yes, but actually I lived like very usual Japanese life, and I ate just miso soup every day, and Japanese food with soy sauce flavors. That's it. It's right. Very simple. But once a year, our laboratory staff make hishio. It's very like kind of miso, but it's active and it has much umami. So, like, if I describe hishio in English, it's umami paste.
So, what's the difference though, actually?
In
the process of making?
They're very similar. But they are making that as like for trial and making the practice for making koji. So we are koji starter manufacturer, not koji manufacturer. So they are keep studying about that.
Right. Well, let's talk about that point. So let's start with what koji is, because you know, I think majority of us don't know. Right. So what is koji?
Koji is fermented rice with koji kin. The koji kin we are dealing three kinds of koji strains. The first is Aspergillus oryzae. It is known as a natural fungus of Japan, and it's very typical. It's used for sake brewing, miso manufacturing, also soy sauce manufacturing. And the second one is Aspergillus soya. This is exclusively used for soy sauce manufacturing. And the last one is Aspergillus lutuensis. This is for exclusively used for shochu distilling, distilled liquor. That strain is very interesting. So that can expose much citric acid. Very sour taste.
Interesting.
Yes.
So, and you said, you know, koji is associated with rice, right? You grow...
Not only rice, so but it's barley. Rice or barley is the ingredient of koji starter and koji.
Right. So basically koji kin, you know, that's the mold you said.
Exactly.
Right. And they are like... really like mold.
Mold. So you have just mold. The Aspergillus family is mold.
And you need a home to grow on. That is rice or barley.
Yes.
Or can be anything.
So we use the rice and barley as substrate of koji fungus. And koji fungus is kind of group of fungi.
So
our business is to harvest the spore of koji kin.
Right. So when I call you up and give me koji, you send out the powder.
Yeah, exactly. That is spore of koji starter. But we put a little starch in that. If we sell only spore, the users will be getting confused, because the spore of koji starter is very light. So if they try to spread on the rice or like... recently meat, something like that, it can be flew up too, because it's too light. So that's why we put the starch. That's inoculation efficiency be improved if we put the starch.
You have the starch powder in your package?
Yes.
Okay, so that it doesn't go anywhere.
It's mixed.
Right. Right, otherwise it's almost like invisible and you don't know what to do.
Invisible, yeah. Right. The mixing rate is kind of, these things are confidential. Right. Sorry about that.
Right, but you know, whoever seen what happens in the sake brewery, you know, you see the rice just steamed and then the temperature is cooled down, cool enough to grow koji.
Yes.
Then people sprinkle koji powder over. Like a very... famous scene of sake making.
Yes, so sake brewing is very, very sensitive. So do you know, have you ever heard that ichi koji, nimoto, san tsukuri? These are three essential element component of sake brewing. The ichi koji means the first one is for koji making. And that means like koji making is the top priority of making sake.
Because the koji is making rice
soaking rice, mm-hmm. steam rice, and cooling down, mm-hmm. and inoculate that,
right.
and control its humidity and temperature, and mix twice. Then right. they store that in the cold chamber for over 40 hours, around 40 or 42 hours, like that.
Mm.
It's very sensitive.
Right. So what Koji does on the rice at the sake brewery, they break down the starch.
Exactly.
Of rice and convert it to sugar.
Sugar.
And then the yeast takes over to convert to CO2 and alcohol. But that's the steps,
yes,
right?
Yes, so alcohol production and flavor production.
Mm, right.
So koji can give big thing to sake's taste.
Mm.
But on the other hand, yeast is contribute to alcohol production and flavor production.
Right.
So some people think koji can generate a fantastic flavor from sake, but it's wrong.
Really?
It's sort of wrong.
Hmm.
So, but yeast does.
Okay, because I heard, for sake producers, there's a yellow koji, white koji, and then they change the flavor, I heard.
Koji's flavor is changed, but they don't affect to the flavor of final product.
Hmm.
The koji's flavor and final product flavor is a little different.
Okay. So what I understand, I don't as much as, of course, about koji, but I heard that, say, for instance, shochu, you use kurokoji, right?
Kurokoji.
Right. So why is that?
That is kind of traditional thing, I think. But recently, they gave up to use the black koji some decades ago. But because black koji, if the factory used the black koji, the factory would get dirt easily because it's color black.
Mm.
So the neighborhood complained about that.
Interesting.
That is very regional issue in Japan. So they gave up to use the black koji, but they tried to use the brown koji. We call that white koji, shiro koji, white, but the actual color is brown.
Mm.
So ability is not so different from black koji, but the black koji can make, if they use the black koji, it looks they can get a unique flavor, but I don't know actually about that, the difference between that.
Right. I think maybe this may be completely wrong, but the black koji has more power to digest the starch or something like that?
I don't think so.
No.
So we have several kinds of koji starter for shochu. But in our company, so we have brown koji starter for rice. This can expose the citric acid much. And in addition, the enzyme activity is so strong. But black koji is specific. So the black is like, feels luxurious image, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The black color, something like that.
Right.
And black koji can give the final product like thick taste.
Okay. Interesting.
But, yeah, customers say that, but we don't know actually. We are just a fermentation professional, but we don't evaluate the taste and the flavor of final product, actually.
So in other words, it doesn't matter which color, like yellow, white, black koji.
Yeah, yellow koji is not Aspergillus luteensis, but Aspergillus oryzae.
Oh, right.
So brown koji and black koji are Aspergillus luteensis. They are another group.
So the differences between the two are
brown and black?
Yeah.
That's hard to explain. But color is so different. Black koji is totally black.
Right. So I just keep hearing that sake makers don't use black koji. So I just
Sake makers, they don't use
Because of the texture, maybe.
why you are asking why they don't use the
because
black cuisine.
You know, shochu is distilled, right? So
exactly,
people don't have to worry too much about the texture.
The biggest reason why they don't use black koji in their sake brewery is very simple. The strain is totally different. That means like the time and temperature course carb is totally different. Like, for example, the initial temperature, optimum initial temperature of Aspergillus oryzae is around 30 degrees Celsius. On the other hand, the Aspergillus luteensis initial temperature should be 35 degrees Celsius. The five more is higher.
It's
right?
Very different.
Yes, and then so after last like 10 hours more, the Aspergillus luteensis culture should be going lower temperature to induce the citric acid. So purpose is different.
Okay, so so in other words, you know, there's another element that's acid, right? So it can be a citric acid or any other acid types to deal with koji?
No, just citric acid. They,
okay.
They manufacture, they expose just the citric acid, no other acid.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. All right. So it's kind of way complicated, but I really want
to
know.
So it's hard to describe in 40 minutes something.
Right. Yeah, but I'm sorry, just I got stuck on that acid parts. How do you use the citric acid for with the how do you use
the reason?
Koji? Yeah, I mean, what's the process of using?
Why they need a citric acid
right.
for shochu distilling?
Right, right.
It's very traditional issue. Mainly because the shochu is produced in Kyushu Island mainly, more than 80% something. And that is south part of Japan. That traditionally, that part is very warm. So now we can very highly technology, the like fridge and the tank keep us temperature. But more than 100 years ago, they don't facility state of the art facility, so it's impossible to brew sake in south part of Japan because it would be contaminated. They tried, so they decided to manufacture the brew, distill the shochu liquors. So shochu liquors is just distilled liquor, and when they make moromi of shochu, mash. So without any acid, it will be contaminated. So citric acid is working for the prevention of bacterial contamination.
Okay. Well, it's not lactic acid, but citric acid.
Citric
for some
acid.
Reason.
Because koji exposed the citric acid. That's the reason why.
What do you mean by expose?
Exposed like metabolized.
Oh, okay. So no other acid the koji can handle?
No, koji can.
Interesting.
Yeah. Aspergillus luteensis.
Right.
Metabolized.
Interesting.
Yeah. Aspergillus oryzae doesn't metabolize the citric acid.
Right.
They just produce the enzymes, variety of enzyme protease, amylase, something like that.
Oh my God, I'm just going down the rabbit hole. Like I can't stop. Oh my God. All right. So, wow, that's very interesting. I have to really look into that. but how many koji starter, I mean, you know, the molds or strains do you carry in your lab?
In our lab stock? We have hundreds of stocks, like around 700 or more. But we use, we pick some of them, like 30 or 40 for commercial market.
Okay. So how do you select those?
It's difficult question. Good question. So for traditionally, so... we talk with our customers about we want to know the opinions from the customers. So we studied a lot, which one is the best for their purpose.
Right.
And the brewers and the miso producers, they share the ideas every year through the year. So if we make a new Koji starter and that a customer use that and they their project is, if their project will be done successfully, that product the sales is increased.
Right. So for instance, if I wanted to make miso,
mm-hmm.
what's the popular criteria for miso producers?
Our products?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of miso? So there are several kinds of miso, like white miso, bright color miso, and usual rice miso, barley miso,
right.
and red color miso, like hachō miso in Japan.
Right.
So what kind of miso do you like? Interestingly, for American people, like... Jeremy Manskison in Cleveland, he focused on umami and rich taste.
Right. For listeners who have never listened to Jeremy Wramsky's episode, I forgot which number, but he is the guy, very innovative. He he grows koji directly on meat and cures
it. Not directly, actually, but his project is very interesting. He don't inoculate meat directly, but he used the more starch and he mixed that and he covered that the meat and the koji can grow in the wheat, the starch.
So not the meat protein, but you need a little cover, like cream.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So it's like, does he use wheat or?
I think... Yeah, wheat.
Right. So you need certain starch, even if you like the dust, you know, like really thin coating. Right. So this koji is very efficient, right? If you have like thin base, it can grow.
Yeah. Anyway, so for this purpose or rich taste for making rich taste miso, we recommend the recommend the koji starter which have a high protease activity one. But if you want make a rice miso, I recommend the amylase activity, high amylase activity koji starter for that purpose. So it depends on the purpose.
Right. So so it means that the taste, because of the activity level of koji to convert how radically or vigorously it converts starch into sugar and alcohol, then that's the kind of like energy level of koji. Is that the difference?
Yes. Well, anyway, so our, like, for example, our BF1, it is very standard product.
Okay.
So standard means like it has a well-balanced enzyme activity. So it has much amylase activity and the protease activity is they're well-balanced. So usually I recommend to start with our BF1. Then I will wait for their result and share the ideas for the next order.
So if somebody wants to have more intense flavor of miso, after BF1, you're going to recommend something else? Or that kind of thing?
It depends.
Right.
If they focus on protease activity more.
What do you mean by protease activity?
Protease is to degrade the proteins.
Oh, okay. Right.
I would recommend the BF3 or... Yeah, BF3 is a good option.
Okay, so if the protease activity is high, that means you have quicker conversion of starch to
it's sort of sugar. Yes, quicker and more degrade.
Okay, so like
so to more induce amino acid more.
Oh, so the umami is more.
I think so.
One thing during the process. So if the protease activity is higher, it's, you know, amino acid umami is higher and also sweeter, right? Because it's the starch is broken down more. So just the umami is more and the sweeter.
Sweeter, yes.
Sounds like the higher protease activity, the better as a koji.
But like BF3, it has very strong protease activity, but it doesn't have much amylase activity.
Okay.
That's sweet little. Mm. Every product has protease activity and amylase activity both.
Right.
But the level of the of both enzymes are different on each product.
Right. Okay. So interesting. So that's how you narrow down. And then people tend to prefer BF1 or 3, yeah, that kind. Yeah, that's how you narrow down to 35 products. Okay. All right. So let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about everything he does, the new products he's coming up with. So please stay with us. Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Corin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. The knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan-Asian to American, and that is why they are located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Corin's Tribeca showroom is home to the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan. Stop by to view their exquisitely designed tableware and the rarest natural sharpening stones. They have a whole range of knife services, from repair and rust removal to reshaping and realigning. Corin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the highest quality Japanese design to your table so you can experience the unparalleled quality of Japanese craftsmanship in your home or restaurant. For more information, visit corin.com. Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats, broadcasting live from a studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Koichi Higuchi of Higuchi Matsunosuke Shoten in Osaka, Japan, which is a sixth-generation-old Koji starter company. So I really want to nitty-gritty of Koji more. So how do you, I mean, you make a Koji starter. So what's the process of making a Koji starter?
It's mostly the same of the Koji making, but the culture time is many long hours. So usually the Koji culture time is 40 hours, something 45 or less. But in Koji starter, we culture that more than 120 hours.
Right. So
let's take 5 days.
Okay. So let's start from the beginning. Like you have spores, Koji spores.
And original Koji spore.
Right.
Yeah.
So
seed of seed, right?
And it's kind of, as I talked earlier, it's
part of the We use the ingredient, the either barley or rice, and we soak them. For overnight something.
Right. As to create a nice bed for Koji spores.
Exactly. Right. So it's absorb the water and then we drain them.
Can I, sorry to interrupt, but how do you choose rice or barley? Is barley easier for Koji or depending on which type of Koji spores?
So barley has much protein compared to rice. And strain like for mainly we use only rice for Koji starter for sake and shochu. But for soy sauce manufacturing, the miso manufacturing, the barley is, if we use the barley as substrate, the higher protease activity fungus we can harvest that. But recently miso manufacturers don't feel like to use the Koji starter, the ingredient of barley, because the gluten allergy.
Ah, interesting.
So custom, yeah. So mostly our ingredient is rice. But sometimes barley for like soy sauce.
Right. So if the protein is higher, then you have more umami because amino acid is higher.
Amino acid degrading enzyme activity more.
Okay.
You understand? So Koji starter is just spore.
They
don't have much umami. Just spore.
Okay. Right.
But it has much the ability to metabolize the proteins.
You know. Right. So basically, so Koji spores eat the bed. It's either rice or barley.
Which do you mean?
You know, the spores are kind of spread over. Because Koji spores eat rice or barley, right? Once it's sprinkled over it.
Yes.
So, and then convert it to something else.
Yes.
So, which is as a result of sugar.
Yes.
Or CO2. Right?
Yes.
And then yeast takes over the process. So, the difference, you know, I'm just trying to understand why, you know, I understand that for whoever wants to avoid gluten issue, you don't use barley, but you only stick with rice. So, so the taste doesn't make any difference in the taste or the umami level?
That is very difficult question for me. I don't know much about that. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, well, because my simple mind said, well, you know, if I have more starch and convert it to sugar, it's going to be sweeter. And then if it's more protein, it's going to be amino acid more, then it's going to be more umami. So it doesn't work like that.
So the inducing umami much does not mean the inducing umami. But so some amino acids working for the creating umami, but induced amino acid much, that kind of taste like fuzzy. It's too rich or too like it has too much koji flavor.
Okay.
So that makes like Japanese people annoyed.
Right,
it's very sensitive part.
Right. Interesting. So that's the flavor of koji itself. It's kind of green. How do you describe the flavor of koji?
I have never described that. But sweet. And it reminds me like Japanese people should like that flavor. Like, you know, amazake? Have you ever tried that?
Yeah.
Amazake is a very trend, very rice drink in Japan. It's good for healthy. That amazake's flavor is very similar to my thinking, koji flavor.
Right. Whenever I smell koji flavor, it's like a grainy, but it's a slightly, I don't know, it's kind of pleasant grain flavor, but I can't trace back to what kind of similar. I think it's koji smell. But to me, it's a really comforting food. Yeah. And but it's. Yeah. I think you have to smell
it. It's very complicated flavor, but the interesting thing is the ingredient is just rice. That is a very interesting thing.
Right, And in other words, koji is very healthy, clean product.
Yes, because koji can metabolize not only, koji not only produce the glucose, but oligo sugars. Okay. So oligo sugars is very good for health, good for digestive systems, especially pregnant. Like to drink the amazake for their health.
Okay. So, and also, if you just go to, say, like Japanese supermarket, there's a shiokoji starter. So shiokoji is kind of...
Shiokoji starter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have like, you can add rice and make a shiokoji. Yeah, that's
so
kind
of... So they
sell
only koji and with instructions to make a shiokoji.
Yeah, I made it. It works.
Oh, I've never seen that. That's interesting.
Yeah, so I think that's a good introduction for, you know, whoever never tried koji products. And it's really worked. And once I made it, it's just easy. Mix and leave it. And then it's ready to use. And I put like chicken leg, I think, overnight. Next day. And roasted it. I was like, oh, so much better than usual. So that's the koji power.
If you use the aspergillus nutrients for shiokoji, the taste is very interesting. It's like umeboshi. Because the salt and citric acid exist in the same.
Mm.
That means like similar to meboshi.
Interesting.
But if you asparagus, do you translate shiokoji for marinating vegetables or something so like fish for fish?
Mm.
It's very interesting.
Wow. So I really didn't distinguish the three different, yeah, the strains, yeah. Right? The strains or...
Asparagus, oryze, right. Soya, and rutuensis.
Right. Okay. So, also, you know, it's I heard it's very tricky to use koji, right? So if somebody call you up or like, you know, you have online store and order.
No, we don't. We don't online store.
Oh, you don't? Oh, there's a shipping.
Yes.
Right. Basically, yeah. Word of mouth, and it's like, I know people started order from you. So you get koji spores, mm-hmm. but then it's not safe, right? You just like, you can't...
It's very safe. Yeah.
Oh,
a feature of our koji starter is very purified.
Okay, wait. I'm saying, you know, your products are very safe.
Yes.
But to keep the environment clean and make good food products.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I just want to stress that because I think...
Yeah, yeah. But for small scale koji making, you don't have to care much because Japanese sake brewers and miso producers, they have very, very upscaled koji making facility. If they eat contaminated a little...
Right.
that's a problem, company problem.
Mm.
So they have to waste 100 kilogram or some tons of rice ingredient.
Right. So somebody, you know, who owns a nice restaurant, like a Jeremy's Lauder in Cleveland.
They have very small-scale koji making facility.
Mm.
So that's okay.
Mm. Okay.
And the koji fungus is a kind of fungus, you know. It is, that means it's very strong. It can be survived,
right?
In relatively severe conditions.
Okay, right.
But at the same, they're sort of sensitive. It's hard. But upscale production, you have to care the sterilization, something like that. But for small scale production, like a few kilograms koji, so you have to care about the temperature controlling and humidity controlling. But you don't have to care much about the contamination.
Right. So the because koji is strong enough to fight back other bad products.
Yes. So you should inoculate the correct volume of koji starter.
Right. Meaning
that's a very important thing.
Right. And it's a specific amount that you kind of specify on your package.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I was technically I'm having trouble with saying it, but
it's okay.
So once you sell your koji spores to your clients, and then do you get the feedback like regularly?
Sometimes we get the feedback from them, and we have several sales staff, and they are taking a business trip all year, and they get the feedback from the customers, not only big manufacturers but small manufacturers.
Right. So do you I don't know, the koji spores exist, you cannot create a new one, right? It's like
create means
like, you know,
sometimes we isolate a new strain, new koji strain from the usual strains.
Meaning you discover it or you kind of
just sort of discover, but then we store that as our new stock. But commercial market koji starter, we don't change a lot.
Okay, so that's an interesting thing. So
I have a good example about a new product.
Yep.
So Hi-G, it is exclusively used for Ginjo sake brewing. So Hi-G is very popular product for Ginjo making. Recently, we launched two other relative products from Hi-G. They're called Super Hi-G and Mild Hi-G.
Okay.
So customers, recently, the sake brewers, especially north part of Japan, Tohoku area, these breweries want to induce the glucomerase.
Mm-hmm.
for their sake. Haiji has much glucose amylase activity compared to other products.
Okay.
But customers gave them the opinions they want to get more higher glucoamylase activity. So we thought about that seriously and we launched that higher glucoamylase activity Haiji. That is super Haiji.
Okay. So that means you kind of create a hybrid of stronger...
Yes, hybrid. Yeah.
Okay, so you really create new Koji.
Yeah, new Koji starter, new product.
Right.
Not new fungus, but new product.
Right, okay. Yeah. So, but then can you still keep finding a new fungus?
Yes, of course.
I was like, how do you do that?
That's sort of a confidential part.
Okay.
So it depends. Sometimes our lab staff use UV, something like that. So they try to get some new spores to mutate.
Okay. Right.
So new fungus means mutation. Of the fungus from the original fungus.
Right. So you just don't find it in the new vegetable or anything.
Actually, the black fungus, we talked about the black fungus and brown fungus for shochu. The brown fungus is mutation of black fungus. They are the same group.
Right. Interesting. Huh. So it's naturally mutating or you try to
create
a new... Right. Wow. So it's unlimited.
I think so, sort of, yes.
Right, because I don't know how many years of history Koji can go back, but it's like...
It's more than 1,000 years, I think.
Right?
Yeah.
So now it must be very different in terms of how you can specify the ideal Koji for certain products.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, you are developing innovative products, not just the mutating Koji.
There's some very interesting projects are going on, but... I'm very feeling excited about our new product will be launched in this summer, but I cannot announce that today.
Okay, you'll come back next year.
Yeah, so we are working with some people for the new project. So the Koji becomes the world international and global ingredient. We should take this trend. We should follow this trend, right? But on the other hand, the Japanese market of koji starter, like for sake, miso, soy sauce, honestly, I'm pessimistic about that because the population of Japan is now decreasing. So market is shrinking right now.
Right.
So, but koji becomes a global ingredient, so we should make a new product.
Right, and you can sell directly to consumers instead of, because your clients now are almost all wholesale, right, to corporations.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
I can't wait to hear about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, so keep me posted, and if you launch something new, just come back.
Yeah, of course.
But I taste that. Can I talk about the syrup?
Yeah.
So you gave me two different syrup products.
Yes.
And one is sour, one is sweet.
Yes.
And I was amazed. So basically, it's a sweet syrup, but sour syrup is kind of like orange peel.
Yes.
And I instantly thought about, I need a big salad, a clean salad, summer salad. And the sweet one is almost like a butterscotch. And I need a vanilla ice cream. Over it.
Sort of, yes, I think. I'm showing these syrups. We call that koji mitsu, like koji honey, as the proof of koji's ability. So koji can induce the sweetness much. But ingredient is just rice and koji.
That's amazing.
And sour syrup, the sour type koji honey, is also ingredient is just rice. But this you felt like a very much citric acid sour taste, right? The both are ingredient just rice.
Right.
So that is a proof of koji ability.
So the koji kind of attracted that sourness by breaking down that citric acid like we talked earlier.
Yes. And if we mix these syrups together, the taste is going to be very interesting. So like fruits, but ingredient is just rice and koji.
Right. Amazing. Yeah, so natural, gluten-free.
Very natural and gluten-free also, and from 100% organic. Yes.
And I like honey, but the texture is sometimes tricky because you have to know, you know, the temperature of use honey. And it gets really like hard sometimes, but the cozy syrup is very, very like smooth liquid. And you can maybe concentrate by cooking. And,
Right. And that cozy syrup is completely sterilized and the enzymes are deactivated. So it's very safe and stable. Yeah.
Wow. So I hope I can find it as a product in sometime in the future. Anything else you're developing?
Yes, we do. But it's...
okay, I'll keep it.
I'm sorry about that.
Save it next time. And
Yeah, next time.
Because I know one of them, but I really want to say it, but I won't. I want to protect your business. Well, let's go back to, you know, people who's using koji in this country, you know... I started to talk about koji, like, you know, Russell Kahn, who's working on an Amazake company here, but also Jeremy Musky, we mentioned many times. He's really innovative in terms of how to capture the idea of koji. So what do you think about, you know, the new way to use koji?
When I thought, when I heard that trend so on the net, I thought they are so crazy, ridiculous. But seeing is believing, right? So I visited the Jeremy-san's place.
Couple of days ago.
Yes, right? Couple of days ago. So the taste of his products are so amazing. And he is so smart. So he has open mind. So he explained about his project, his doing project. They are, I think, theoretical. They are safe. Actually, he doesn't serve the, any contaminated food, but they are very tasty. And he sterilized much.
Right. Yeah.
It's a very interesting trend. So I think Japanese people are living with koji food. That means we become very conservative way of thinking.
You're in the box.
But Americans, like Europeans, they have, they are just starting to learn about koji. They are doing crazy project.
Right.
But actually, some people are doing a wrong way. But but the. Like Jeremy Mansky-san or Jeremy Keen-san in Boston, they are doing in right way. So we should assist him, assist them to doing their project for the right direction.
Right.
So we should talk with in the future.
Right. Because I keep hearing people interested in koji, but, you know, they don't know. It's kind of like mystical world.
Magical, mystical.
Right. And also, they don't know how many different kinds. I'm still learning a lot from you today. And it's just like, it's very unknown, like gold mine.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of.
So they are using ingredients is very unique for me. So we don't know much in it.
Right.
So we should wrong about that together.
Right. That's a very good way to, like, win-win situation, right? Okay, and I know there are only 6 koji starter companies in Japan.
Now, there are only 5 major koji starter manufacturer. One in Tokyo, one in Akita, one in Aichi Prefecture, and Kyoto, and
you.
You, me. Kyushu, six, sorry,
right.
6.
So, and of course, if you stay in the business in traditional way, there's no bigger market. So it's really interesting to discover those interesting, fun things. I'm very excited about koji. I really didn't think too much about it. Because
I'm feeling happy to hear that.
Right, so... Okay, and so what's your plan? You're planning on new products and all?
As I told you, we are running some interesting projects. And we want to complete them. And I hope that this product launch soon.
Cool. So please do keep me posted. I want to have you back here again.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So how where can we find your updates online?
We have a website, but I'm planning to recreate our website. And during this trip, many people request me to have to get the Instagram account and Facebook account. We try to think about that.
Well, it's not as hard as you think.
But anyone can contact me, can feel free to contact me. Mm-hmm. So I will reply for their inquiries.
Right. So the website is the www.higuchi/m.co.jp.
Correct.
Right. So it's higuchi-m.co.jp.
Yes.
Higuchi-m.co.jp.
Yes.
Right. All right. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. So please come back.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for guests or topics of the show, please contact us at japanese@heritageradionetwork.org. And Japanese is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays and always available at heritageradionetwork.org, iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. Our engineer is Matt Patterson. And thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.